Good afternoon. This is JR with BQCI. Happy Friday to all you. It was a mixed tone today with corn the only one ending higher on the day as we continue to see some iffy forecasts for the Midwest and really a lot of debate there on whether or not the forecasts are going to pan out or not. In the Euro model, it certainly looks wet-ish for Iowa with pop-up showers. But if you look at some of the ensembles and the GFS, still remains dry for a good portion of the Midwest with only light showers in the eastern part and just kind of getting by on some pop-ups. Temperatures should get hot again next week, although it's going to be a really nice weekend here in a lot of the growing region. And I do expect we get to see some pretty good corn filling here going into the next week. I think you have a little bit of the market concern about conditions on Monday's report declining. As we didn't see that decline last week, I'm sure we will see it this week just with the heat and some of the dryness that's been out there in a lot of the Corn Belt, with maybe some improvements in the east. But I think right now the biggest driver here in corn is just that we are starting to hear reports of just the short crop in the southern plains and really impacting some of the trade flows going forward for most of the country as you're going to have to see these feedlots in Texas and the panhandles and western Kansas really pull further north and further east than they usually do and earlier than they usually do as well, right at a time when the domestic end user of ethanol plants is seeing some really good margins for new crops. So it's going to be an interesting fight from a new crop standpoint, from the old crop standpoint. Still some certain pockets out there of tightness, but I think if you talk to most any end user out there, they're pretty confident they'll get to the end, maybe just running a little bit of shy of full capacity in parts of Iowa right now, as a lot of those producers did sell pretty heavily earlier in the year and have sold quite a bit or almost all of their production and shifted as well. So that'll be an interesting one to watch. I do think we saw some strength today in the SEP D's as a result of this tightness that it kind of appeared. And we're getting to the point this time of year where it seems like the question of old crop stocks changes about every 2 days. You ask an end user on Tuesday, and they said that they were all fine and hunky-dory, and there was going to be no problem sourcing grain to get them to harvest. You talk to them yesterday, maybe even some today, and they're a little bit less confident on that. I do think we're going to get to the end. The bushels always find a way. I do think we see bases continue to decline into harvest levels, but certainly something that I think will keep the September-December corn spread bid, and I certainly wouldn't want to be shorted. Looking out into some of the new crop spread values, you've got a 8-cent carry there from the east to the March. You know, while we did think 5 was probably a good place to be rolling that out as well, I would say 8's even better. You know, once we do get some export activity, which I do believe will come, you've got the EU corn trading, you know, at basically all-time highs over the U.S. corn. You've got the EU wheat trading at basically all-time highs over both U.S. corn and U.S. wheat. So there's certainly some issues out there as to the EU importing significantly more corn this year, especially with the cutoff trade flows from Ukraine. And with the droughts there in Romania, France, Germany, Italy, basically all of the EU saw a pretty significant drought this year, and they will have to import quite a bit more feed grains, as well as import quite a bit more natural gas this year. So that'll be a really interesting one to play out and just see kind of, I would call it a potential disaster here in the EU, and I do think they're going to have to cut some of their, you know, their grudged phytosanitary circumstances with the U.S. and potentially import something out of the Great Lakes, out of the Gulf. Definitely keep our eyes on that as we roll forward. Moving out of corn and into beans. Beans were weaker today, mostly on a weaker bean meal trade. I think this bean meal trade is just really, really tired after some pretty volatile and sharp moves here. Last week, you know, we had basically a 40 cent or $40 move in 2 days almost on the October bean meal. And then yesterday here we had a $22 move in October bean meal. So I think we had to give a little bit of that up here in beans. And that's, like I'd mentioned, that's kind of a product of just some of this old crop tightness that's starting to show for beans. I think you're looking at some crush plants that, you know, while they are going into their normal time of downtime for maintenance ahead of harvest, some of the gaps to fill on that, just to keep your domestic end users happy from the feedlot standpoint, they're going to be running a little tight, not going to run out by any circumstance, but there is going to be a pretty penny on some of that meal. So, you know, that's just kind of some of the strength here that's driven these crush margins higher. Today, your nearby crush margins were slightly lower, but still very profitable. Your new crop crush margins are higher and very profitable still. So I think you're going to be looking at a crush industry that continues to push capacity all at least through the first half of the new crop marketing year. And I think that's going to be something that we're going to have to keep our eyes on as some of these plants have already been pushed pretty hard and have been seeing some issues because of that. So keep your eyes on that. You know, from a technical indicator standpoint on soybeans, we've still got a gap to the downside in beans, and we still have a gap to the downside in corn. Makes me a little bit nervous to get really bullish. Just because I know that we're going to trade lower at some point. I still think that, you know, $13 is the downside here on your beans. $14.50 is probably the upside on your November beans as well. So kind of trading that range there. I'm really waiting until we get some more clarity on the yield situation. And I still think it's far too early to give a good estimate on where we are at for bean and or corn yield. So I guess for over the weekend, I'd probably want to be a little bit long beans, just from a condition standpoint. These hot, dry temperatures during August can really zap the yield out of it a lot quicker than some can imagine. And I think, you know, you have a balance sheet that's tight enough that you take even a half bushel an acre on a national average out of the picture, and things get awful tight, especially with a crush industry that's going to be running close to full bore or, you know, even beyond full bore here, as I mentioned, for most of the new crop marketing year. Moving into wheat, weaker trade today. It was kind of a mixed one with earlier today as we were trading higher in the overnight and then, of course, settled lower as wheat likes to do. Your Kansas City was the driver here today, as I think, you know, we had some intermarket play going on. And that's just really kind of some of the weakness there in that Kansas City market is just because it's been so tight and so much demand has been rationed out of it. That now you're starting to see Canadian and even U.S. SRW offers considerably more competitive than that Kansas City number. And I don't really think we need to export HRW. I don't think the market wants you to export HRW, but it's still maybe a little bit too expensive for right now. And so I think that brought the softer tone here to most of the market. You're still looking at really good crops for most of the Northern Plains. You talk to most of any Canadian trader and they're going to say, okay, there's a pocket of southwestern Saskatchewan that's rough, but for the most part, it looked really good and could be a record. And I guess, you know, I'd have to agree with them. I'm a little hesitant to believe the crop that basically headed in within a month and a half of getting planted is going to be a record, but, you know, a modern agronomy sure surprises me. So that'll be something here to watch. And I think Minneapolis did find some strength in the post session today. If you watched that, we settled at 886.5 and then ended up last trading on like a whopping 20 contracts the very end of the day, 895, which is really goofy. And I guess, you know, the one thing I am really hesitant to be bearish Minneapolis and really bearish wheat in general is that you have a fund structure that is net short wheat now. Could funds get short wheat and heavily short wheat? Sure, why not? Do I think that the funds would have a very hard time explaining to their investors why they shorted an ag commodity during one of the largest inflationary periods in American history? And while there's a war going on in one of the major wheat producing areas in America? Yeah, I think they'd have a hard time explaining that. So I would be cautious to believe that they're going to continue to be a seller here of wheat. And I do feel like our lows are at least close to being in on wheat. We might not be there yet. But I do think that if you look at maybe an 850 or something of that nature to the downside in wheat, that's got to be about it for Minneapolis. I just don't see the opportunities lying much more below that. And I think we are at a point where there's no demand rationing. I could confidently say there's no demand rationing from a domestic standpoint in wheat right now. Maybe a little bit still in the international markets, but very little. And I think it's more of a standpoint of we got to let Canada sell themselves out of wheat before the U.S. gets really competitive again. And then once that does happen, you might see a rally to Minneapolis. So I guess, if I got to pick a commodity to be short, it'd be corn. I think if I have a commodity I'd pick to be long right now, it'd be probably Chicago wheat first, but then just wheat in general after that. Macros today did provide some resistance as we saw a And this just confuses me about the mindset of Wall Street, but we saw a supportive jobs number. So jobs that were created during the month of July were higher than estimates, but that was bearish the market because it means that the Fed is going to increase interest rates. So we had macros down, we had bonds get hammered, we had crude oil trade lower quite a bit, you had the S&P finish lower, and the dollar shoot higher. So the macros were really not helpful to the ag complex today, and I don't think that they're going to be helpful to begin the week. But then as we as we kind of shake out past this jobs number results, I think you're going to start to see all of a sudden folks saying, well, because they're going to raise rates so fast, that means eventually the rates will come down and we got to buy the stock market again because nothing on Wall Street makes sense. Or maybe that's why I'm in ag commodities. Anyway, with that, I'll leave you all be on this Friday afternoon and have a good weekend. Thanks.